these things. And I got to the spot where it says that, for to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. There's not different spirits working these spirituals or these gifts. It's the same Spirit. And that Spirit connected to the entire Bible is the Ruach. Same Spirit that was moving on the face of the waters. And then we find in Exodus 31 verse 3, same Spirit there working. So understand that this Spirit that Shaul is talking about in Corinthians is not a different Spirit. And the same Spirit was working in the Tanakh. It's not a different Spirit. The how God delivered the Spirit was different. But it's not a different Spirit. And some people say, well, when the Spirit came, it was a new thing. It wasn't a new thing. It was delivered different. The way his delivery was brand new. But it was not new. So Exodus 31:3, it says, I have filled him with the Spirit of Elohim in wisdom and in understanding and all knowledge and all works. This was the one, the craftsman, when he was asked to come to Moshe to help build the tabernacle and all the utensils. The Spirit came on him. He was filled with the Spirit of wisdom to learn how to craft these things. That's not a different Spirit. It's the same Spirit that we operate in today under the new writings. It's the same Spirit. So I want to link those things together. It's not a different Spirit from the Tanakh to the Brit Hadishah. It's all the same Spirit. Very important that we understand that. And so it says, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another belief of the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another operations of powers, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and to another kinds of discerning of spirits, and to another kinds of tongues, and to another kinds of tongues. Let me see that. Now that kinds of tongues, who are going to relate that statement to? Is that statement related to Mark 16? We have to check it with Mark 16. When he says kinds of tongues, what is that? What is he talking about, kinds of tongues? Kinds of languages? Is that known or unknown languages? What was Yeshua talking about, known or unknown languages? Remember, he said new tongues. Not something that was learned, not something that was known, but it was unknown. It was not known. It was unworn. And so, again, that term kinos is key there. And again, when Shaul's writing, we have to apply the same study habits as we did with Yeshua to apply to what Shaul's talking about. So, to another operation of powers, prophecies, and other kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. So you can have a gift that can interpret a tongue that you don't know nothing about. You pray for interpretation. He, as a matter of fact, he says, if you speak in an unknown tongue, pray that you may interpret. Why? Because it brings edification for everybody. And if you want to have interpretation for yourself, then you can seek God for that. If not, know that your spirit's praying. And so your mind is unfruitful. It says you pray in the spirit, but your mind is unfruitful. You don't know, but that's why he said you pray in the spirit, then you pray with your understanding. You sing in the spirit, then you sing with your understanding. So so both ways you do that. So we'll see that here just shortly. So again, we're still talking about concerning spirituals, pneumaticos. So interpretation of tongues. And the same spirit works all these, distributing to each one individually as he intends. So he distributes this as he intends. For as the body is one, it has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Messiah. And so, again, underneath this, these spirituals or these gifts of the Spirit, they'll operate as one. They're not going to be against each other. They're not going to oppose each other. It operates as one. Why? Because what caused Genesis 11 people to be so successful? They were one language. They were all promoting the same thing, all dedicated to the same cause. When the set apart spirit comes, and we have the operation of spirituals or gifts, it'll be our intent will be one cause. It'll all be in one accord, one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. And so that's what God is looking for, and it's by His Spirit that we have unity. Unity won't have unity outside. Teaching don't create unity. My teaching is different than your teaching. You see it one way, I see it another way. But the Spirit creates unity. That's why we have to be teaching under the influence of the spiritual. Under the pneumaticos. We teach under the influence of set-apart spirit. That way, all of a sudden, out of your mouth, all these sayings are coming. Where are they coming from? Let me tell you what God won't honor. He won't honor you doing nothing. If you don't study, He's not going to honor you by set-apart spirit to bring to your remembrance. If you start with nothing, you're going to remember nothing. But if you apply the scripture, read, and you're praying, God, I need to retain this information, and let your set-apart spirit bring it all together the way you desire it. That's what He does. It's called the anointing, and the anointing is what breaks yokes and removes the burdens. And we all come yoked up to something. It happens in our life. We're going along, we're doing good, and all of a sudden, our mind gets yoked up to a thought or a process, and it's hard to break that yoke. But the anointing breaks that yoke. It's instantaneously it happens. The enemy's trying to come and take over your day, trying to destroy your joy and your rejoicing, and you got to break free from that. And you can do that by the set-apart spirit. Very important. So we see all of this terminology in 12. I'm going to stop from reading 12, go to 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 1, pursue love and earnestly seek the spiritual gifts, or the spiritual, the pneumaticos, but rather that you prophesy. Now before I go on in 14:1, notice that he says pursue what? Why he said that? Because he said in chapter 1 of 13, if I speak with tongues of men and of messengers but do not have love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So he's again, even in 12 and 13 and 14, he mentions this word tongues. He mentions this word tongues of men and tongues of angels. Is that the same tongue? How many of you ever heard tongues of angels? But notice the focus on 13 is this: you can have all these spirituals, but if you don't operate in the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, which is the most important thing, then what good is it going to do you? So you can prophesy. What good is it if you prophesy and your prophecy, at the end of the day, it's hatred towards somebody? What good is it? So you got a gift. Now what? Without love. You understand? So it all has to be in this order. And we can't get out that order. That's why Yeshua said, you have to love God, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the Torah and the prophets. He teaches first you have to love God, and you have to love your neighbor. You have to love your fellow brother, sister, whoever it is. You have to love. And that starts off with love your wife, love your children, love your family, love, honor mom and dad. All these things come into that play. If you can't do that, you can have all the spirituals and it doesn't benefit you. You can't take them out of order. There's an order to it, and it's done. It's all done decently and in order. And so in 14, he says, pursue love. Why? Because it's critical. To operate spirituals without love is devastating to the body. You got to operate in love. How many can tell I love you today? Now I got to preach the word of God. That's got to come forth. It's got to come forth with strength, and it's got to come forth with firmness. But I'm doing it in love. I love you, and I care about you. That's why I spend time with God, because I want a word to deliver to his people, so we're not ill-equipped when we're faced with problems and situations. We have the strength. We're equipped to handle every situation that comes our way. So pursue love and earnestly seek spirituals, pneumaticos. Again, gifts is italicized there. Means it's not in the original, but it's put here for a purpose of understanding. So most of the time when it's italicized, I skip over it because it's not in the original text. Now concerning spirituals, I know what spirituals mean. It's pneumaticos. It's spirituals. It's all the things of the spirit or the set apart spirit, whatever it does, an operation under the term pneuma. It's pneumaticos. Again, he says everything concerning what the spirit can do in your life now that Yeshua is gone. So what's our connection to Yeshua, right? How do you connect to Yeshua today? Without the spirit, you don't connect to him. All it is a story in the Bible to you. That's all it is. You have no connection to him. You're not going to be sitting in your room and praying, and all of a sudden you're overwhelmed emotionally because of the presence. That don't happen because Yeshua came somehow and stepped in your room. Not happening. He's at the right hand of Father. He's not going to return until his Father says you can return. Well, what was it? Spirit. That's why I don't want you to be ignorant concerning spirituals. Well, it felt like Yeshua. Of course it's going to feel like Yeshua. The Spirit come from him. It's probably going to feel like the Father at some point, and instantly there's conviction that comes. Instantly. And of course that's what it feels like, but it's not him. Not himself. Why? Because that can't happen until all these things happen. Then the end shall come. So people say, well, I had this. You didn't have anything. You had an encounter with spirituals, and you didn't understand it. So we make these claims, right? Well, I'm going to go to church over here because they had a visitation from God. Really? God came. Mm-hmm. Well, didn't he say he would come like that? But through spirituals, he makes connections with us. That's why we have to understand pneuma to pneuma connection. Now, you have a spirit. Every person here, you have a ruach inside of you. He breathed the breath of life, and it was the thing that sparked a ruach in you. Man has a spirit. He has a spirit. And when that spirit is made alive, it's called the soul or the animation of that person called the nefesh or the human. And so you have to be taught things. It's not automatic. You don't know things automatic. Not like the animal world. The animal world knows things automatic. The duck knows how to migrate. It just knows. It was an egg, and then it hatched in the grass somewhere in the plains of Canada, and all of a sudden it grows up and gets wings, and it takes off with the rest of the group because it knows to migrate. It's in its DNA. In your DNA and our DNA, it was tainted because of sin. Now we have to be taught how to love God. We have to be taught, trained how to respect God, how to show honor to God. And so we do that by his word. That's why he gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto perfect men, to the full stature of the measure of Christ. How many want to get there? I want to be there, but we don't get there without being led by the Spirit. So the Spirit has an operation, and we've taken different things about the Spirit that we dislike, bunched them all up, and now we kind of handicapped ourselves, and we're walking around unable to have breakthrough in our life because we won't let the Spirit do its job. Because we had a bad taste in our mouth about what some group did. Let's just deal with this. You know what Pentecost means? It don't mean a tongue-talking group that just pulled that name and called themselves Pentecostal. That's not the definition. What does Pentecost mean? Come over here to the educated side. What does Pentecost mean? Penta. What Penta means? Penta means five. 5, penta in the Greek, right? Penta. Now, costa means what? The power of what? To the 10th power. 5 to the 10th power is 50. Pentecost means 50. Isn't that amazing? You mean it don't mean a tongue-talking group? No, it means 50. Just plain 50. That's what it means. So in Shavuot, they were there on the 50th day. The mountain turned on fire. In the book of Acts, when Pentecost was fully come, means they reached the 50th day. When Pentecost was fully come, they were in one place in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. So we got to understand, define these terms so we're familiar with them. So don't be mad at the Greek. That's how it was written. That's the manuscript we have. But people have taken things and hijacked these terms, and we think they mean something else, and it doesn't mean that. And so we identify our group by adapting these terms. Well, we're Pentecostal. And we think that is something. So we're saying we're 50. That's what we're saying. We're 50. Well, unless you're over 50, that might bother you, right? See, all over 50s here, you have no problem with being 50 again if you're over 50. But the ones who are not 50 yet, I ain't 50. See, so you can't be a part of our group. We're 50. So people identify with terms in the scripture, not even knowing what their definitions mean, and it's a disservice to the body to not just slow down and look it up. Very simple. Penta, 5. Costa, to the power of 10. 5 to the power of 10 is 50. And so it means 50. Simply means 50. Pentecost. 50. And so the day was fully come. Means they reached the 50th day. And suddenly there was a sound. And so we see that wonderful thing happening in the text. Now verse 14 just goes right into it. There's no holds bar in 14. If you want to know stuff about tongues, you're about to find out. Again, we got to apply everything said back to Mark 16. Keep that in mind. For he who's speaking in a tongue does not speak to men, but to Elohim. Speaking in a tongue, you don't speak to men, but to Elohim. That's what Shaul says. Now, how do we reconcile that statement with what Yeshua says? Because if he who speaks languages, the term is language, right? Language. Or should we apply new language? Or if we just say languages, that's known languages, right? But what if we apply new language here? That's what Yeshua said it was. When he speaking in tongues, it's a new language. For he was speaking in a new language, not just a tongue, not just a language, not just a language, it's a new language. Does not speak to men but to Elohim. It's good to know, ain't it? For no one understands, but in the Spirit he speaks secrets. Some translations translate that word secret to mystery. It's the Greek mysterion. He speaks secrets. What's the secrets that you can speak in the Spirit to Elohim? I'm just asking. What does he not know? What are these secrets for? And how is it you speaking them in a tongue, you still don't know the secret? But he's telling you what it is. He's given some fat to the subject. It's not nonsense. It's not gibberish. Be careful with those words and those how you speak. Be careful. Because you'll get yourself in some stuff that I can't get you out of and nobody can help you with. There's something. He said they're mysteries or secrets. Not to God. But to you, it hadn't become real to us yet. It hadn't. We hadn't been made aware of it fully. But in the spirit, you're there. You just hadn't got your flesh there yet. Your spirit man's far advanced than where you're sitting. Your spirit man had more encounters with God than your flesh has ever had. If we operate under the spirituals. If we don't, then no wonder you struggle week to week. No wonder there's a problem week to week, sometimes daily. At some point, you have to get a hold to this thing, and you got to realize that you shouldn't be beat up every week or every day by the devil where you feel like you've just been, you know, bruised up. You're the victim, never the victor. How many want things to change for you? It'll change when we understand these principles. But he who is prophesying speaks up building and encouragement and comforts to men. Now prophesying, again, this is a pretty tough subject, this prophesying one. Let me see if I can give you something real quick on this prophesying. This prophesying in Numbers 24. Numbers 24, verse 1. And when Balaam saw that it pleased Yehovah to bless Israel, he did not go as at other times to seek to use sorcery. Remember Balaam? Balaam was all over the place. One time it was this God, one time it was Elohim, one time it was somebody else. It didn't matter with Balaam. He was all over the place. That didn't stop God from using him for his benefit. Let's not forget that. You might know people who are all over the place. Don't ever say God can't use them for his benefit. Because then you eliminate what God's choice was, and you're acting now as Elohim rather than a servant of Elohim. We got to just stop speaking sometimes. It's okay that you don't chime in. Sometimes you chime in, it's hard to get you out of that mess. Takes weeks to get you out of it. Don't chime in. Just don't say it. So it came to your mind. That's okay. Pray in the spirit over it. So well, you don't know what you're saying. Well, that's good. That's a good place to start. Speak to God on that behalf. When Balaam saw that it pleased Yehovah to bless Israel, he did not go as at other times to seek the use of sorcery. But he set his face toward the wilderness. Where? The wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes, and the spirit of Elohim came upon him. The Ruach of Elohim came upon Balaam. Yeah. If it can come upon Balaam, it can't come on you, who are blood washed, cleansed of all iniquity. Is Balaam cleansed? He still speaks to sorcerers, yet the spirit of Elohim came on him. Let me tell you, the power of Elohim's spirit is so much superior and powerful than you and I give credit to. And we got to let the spirit do its job. Quit looking at your inabilities and your mistakes and let the spirit of Elohim come upon you, because it changes you. It's life-changing. It does things for you that's hard to understand. Just like this statement here. The spirit of Elohim came upon Balaam. And he took up his proverb and said, now he's going to prophesy. And saying of Balaam, son of Beor, and saying of the men whose eyes are open, the sayings of him who hears the words of El, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes open wide. How good are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling, O Israel, like wadis that stretch out, like gardens by a river, like aloes plants by Jehovah, like cedars beside the waters. Powerful statement here. He's trying to curse them, but he got to bless them. Why? Because the spirit of Elohim came on him. So to say that this is not something that happened throughout the Bible is just untrue. To say that Acts 2 was a new phenomenon that had never happened before is an untrue statement. This happened all through the text. Let's continue a little bit. Because this prophecy, again, when you prophesy, it means, when this happens, it means to cause to bubble up. It's the cause to bubble. So when the Ruach comes on you, it causes something to bubble up. You don't know what it is, but you can adapt as a person to the move of the set apart spirit. And you have to do that. You have to yield to the set apart spirit because it causes to bubble up. And all of a sudden you start praying in the spirit. Just like Balaam, who was completely untrained in this. Instead of seeking sources, he went to the wilderness. He humbled himself to nothingness, to dryness, to being without. The wilderness represents a separation from the normal things of life. And there he is in the wilderness. Same place Yeshua went in the wilderness. But led by the Spirit in the wilderness. And then all of a sudden the Spirit of Elohim comes on Balaam and he speaks blessings. He speaks life over Israel. So this is so important that we understand. It means pour forth words when you prophesy. You pour forth words. In other words, you didn't write any of this down, but you just pour them forth. How did they come? Where did it come? Where does this thought process come from? It's from the time you spent, you don't realize that God was making this database. And then all of a sudden, he hears the download button when you stand up to speak. And you open up your mouth and let the Spirit of Jehovah speak through you. That's the importance of it. Pour forth words abundantly as done by those who speak with ardor or divine emotion of mind. I'm just giving you some definitions of this Nevah. Nevah is prophecy in the Hebrew. Nevah. You can look that up for yourself. But I just want to point that out. It's divine prophecy because we have a prophet here, a so-claimed prophet who prophesies with all sorts of spirits, but all of a sudden the spirit of Elohim come on him. He couldn't deny it. He couldn't stop it. And he spoke these words that he wasn't trying to speak these words. They started coming out of his mouth. It bubbled up out of him. Look at Judges 14. I'm pretty much going to go down this road just for a little bit. I'm trying to show you in the Tanakh every time this happened. Then Shimshon went down to Timnah with his father and his mother and came to the vineyard of Timnah and saw a young lion roaring as he met him. What he saw? A young lion roaring as he met him. And the spirit of Jehovah became mightily upon him, and he tore it apart as the tearing apart of a young goat with naught in his hands. He didn't tear it apart with nothing in his hand. He had nothing in his hands. And he did not make known to his father or his mother what he had done. Here's Shimshon. He's going to a young lion, steps out, and gives a growl like, I'm going to intimidate you. That's what Satan does. He goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you're having the best week of your life, and all of a sudden he goes, raw, and you go, ooh. The moment you go, ooh, he got you. You just succumb to the lie, the intimidation of the enemy. He's so much louder than me. You got to get a bigger voice. What does the Spirit do? It gives you a bigger voice. What does the Spirit do? It gives you a voice of authority. What does the Spirit do? It'll move on water. It'll take darkness and chaos and bring it into fruition what God planned and purposed for it to be. It don't make no difference how difficult it is. When the Spirit moves on you, it changes the environment. And the first environment has to change is ours. The things you like and dislike have to be, it has to be ignited by the set apart Spirit. Before you know it, when God says this is the thing you like, you start liking the things He likes. You start disliking the things He dislikes. It's what happens, it's ignited by the Spirit. And your study habits change. Your hunger changes. The fact that how well you pay attention by the set apart Spirit is very critical. The stuff you receive, the stuff that you bank inside you is by the set apart Spirit. And so we see Shimshon. All of a sudden, the Spirit of Yehovah comes upon him, and he grabs the lion. He's not intimidated by the roar. He don't say, "Well, I don't have him. I would fight him." He don't say, "I would fight him, but I have nothing. I have no stick. I have no gun." Why do you need a stick and a gun when you have set apart Spirit? He's trying to show that Shimshon has nothing in his hands. Yet he tore the lion to pieces. What did he do? He grabbed. How close you got to get to a lion to grab him and tear him to pieces? It's hard to get close when you're running the opposite way. The worst thing to do is to run from the enemy. You stand your ground, and no matter how much he roars, you have to allow the set apart Spirit to do it. And if you're not prepared to do that, you got to pray that God will give you a space of time to prepare yourself for that, whatever that time is. But you have to stand firm upon the principles of God. So, again, in Judges 14:19, then the Spirit of Yehovah came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and struck 30 of their men, stripped them, and gave their changes of garment to those who had explained the riddle, and his displeasure burned, and he went back up to his father's house. When Shimshon was given the riddle, they couldn't explain it. He took 30 men. Here's one man, 30 men. He stripped their garments and gave them to the one who performed the riddle, and his displeasure burned, and he went up back to his father's house. There was no harm to Shimshon. Why? Because the Spirit of Yehovah was upon him. Chapter 15, verse 14. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him, and the Spirit of Yehovah came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax. Became like flax. What's flax? Flax would be from plants. So plant material would be what you got, flax. And you could take flax and, you know, a weaver can take flax and make it so thin they can make garments out of flax. But it's still flax. And flax is susceptible to burn. And so they put ropes on him. No matter how big the ropes are, they were like flax on him. And that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. Why? The Spirit of Yehovah came on him. You can't stop the Spirit of Yehovah. You can't slow it down. So you think maybe, just maybe, we ought to tap into some of these things that Shaul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 14? I think so. Ezekiel chapter 2. The Ruach entered him. And he said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, so that I speak to you." And the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who was speaking to me. And the hand of Yehovah came upon me there, and he said to me, "Rise, go out to the plain, so that I might speak to you there." So he got up and went out to the plain, and see, the esteem of Yehovah stood there like the esteem which I saw by the river Kibar, and I fell on my face. And the Spirit entered me. How many see that? If he says the Spirit entered him, what does that look like? Same way it looks on the day of Pentecost. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind. And it was like diverse types of tongues that sat on each of them. And they all began to speak with new tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. The Spirit entered in them, just like it's doing here. This is not a new concept. The Ruach is all over the Bible. The Ruach's not something new. And even though we have a Greek name for the Ruach in the Greek, it's pneuma, It's the same thing. These are just, one says in Greek is pneuma, one says in the Hebrew is ruach. It's all the same spirit. And the spirit entered me and sat me up on my feet and spoke to me and said to me, go shut yourself inside your house. So what you think he would do? He would go and say, I jumped from chapter 2 to chapter 3. Okay? So the rest of that was, chapter 2 was just the one verse. 2:2, and then 3:22, 23, and 24. Everybody got that? 22, 23, and 24. Didn't mean to lose y'all there, but I got a little excited. Numbers 11, 24. Numbers 11, 24. And Moshe went out and spoke to the people the words of Jehovah, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. And Jehovah came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same spirit upon the 70 elders. Now that word spirit is ruach. He took the ruach that was where? On Moshe. Moshe had the ruach. Why? He had to be the type of leader. He had to lead the people. He had to have the ruach. He knew he couldn't do it by himself. He had to be empowered. You can't lead anybody without the ruach. You're wasting your time. You can't lead without ruach. You have to have power to lead. And so the same spirit that was on Moshe, God put on the 70 elders. Not a different spirit, same spirit. Why? He had the ruach. There was no reason to take a different spirit from somewhere else when he already obtained the ruach. Amen? How many see that? And it came to be when the ruach rested upon them that they prophesied. They did what? They prophesied. Nubah, they prophesied. Now prophecy, again, is a gift of the Spirit. Who seeks the gift of prophecy? It's a gift of the Spirit. Well, I don't know if I want to do that. Well, so now we get to pick and choose the ones we want? Now, prophecy is linked to tongues. Because sometimes prophecy don't come out in English. It comes out in a tongue. And you interpret that tongue. We see sometimes this happening, but we so shut off, we so timed out when it comes to tongues, we lump everything in the same basket. So what happened to the men as soon as the ruach came on them? They prophesied. What were they prophesying? So it's not telling us that they said something that was going to happen in the future. They were speaking in a tongue. This word, this prophecy here, they were speaking in a tongue. Something was changed. There was a phenomenon that was happening, and it's Nabah. It means to prophesy. It's Strong's 50:12. It means to prophesy, to prophecy, under the influence of divine spirit. Under the influence of divine spirit. This is Nabah. It's also Nabah spoken of a false prophet. There's no distinguishing there. You got to let the context of what's happening tell you if it's divine or not. Sometimes Balaam was speaking of a false prophet. It's still the same word. The context tells us when things change. And when it changes, when the spirit of Jehovah came upon Balaam, he changed. So he went to the positive part of Nabal rather than the negative. It's under influence of divine spirit. And so we see this in Nabal. Nabal, it simply means, its primitive root is to prophecy, that is speak or sing. Speak or sing. Let me see that. Why is this information important? Because I'm about to read the rest of 1 Corinthians 14. You need to know this information. So this term prophecy, the 70 prophesied. They all started speaking in tongue. Wow. I didn't see that. You mean there's tongues in the Tanakh? Well, of course there is. Who started it? Yehovah. Where at Mount Sinai? He spoke voices, kolot. And they had, after he was done, there was two different things said that he said. Which one's right? I say both of them are. I say both of them are right because God's word is inspired. There's no error there. There's no mistake. Both of them are correct. He said to remember in one spot and said to guard in another spot. Both of them are correct. So, yes, Jehovah initiated it. Yes, in the renewed writings, Yeshua initiated it. How many see where I'm going with this? Both of our, the ones that we attribute to be in charge of our lives as believers, both initiated something that we don't want nothing to do with today. That's a problem. That's a real problem. You got to embrace what thus said the word. Now, I'm giving you the teaching on it. I can't choose this for you. I can't pick it for you. I can't receive it for you. Receiving is an act of your own will. How many ever heard me say this before? You shall receive power after set apart the Spirit. How many heard me say it over? Now, I didn't explain it to this detail, so I had to go in heavy, deep prayer and fasting and say, God, I got to know. I got to know because me knowing is one thing, me showing is another thing. And I'm in the showing business. I got to show you so you see it, run with it yourself. I got to cast the vision to you so you see it. I hope that you're seeing this already, how important this teaching is. Because I got to show you the vision, so then you got to deal with it. After I'm done, I'm done. I don't ever have to bring it up again. It's not going to stop me from operating in it, what you do, what your decision is. But when you come up lacking all the time and licking wounds and you can't have victory, don't tell me, well, I don't know what to do. I can tell you what you need to do. You got to have power over the enemy, and you don't get that power unless you embrace the things that our master said. Our master said it. Now, Jehovah initiated it in the Tanakh. Yeshua initiated it in the renewed writings. So right there, it settled it for me. It settled it for me. And I thank God over and over and over. I thanked him, and I appreciate him for his goodness. He don't want us to be always behind. He don't want us always fighting ourselves out of something. He wants us to see to something before we ever get in it and have victory over it. How are we going to win the loss if we're always defeated ourselves? How are we going to be ready for the babies if we all got to be bottle fed every week, week after week? We got to have it all, our food chewed up so it's palatable so we can swallow it. This is meat. I'm giving you meat of the word. You got to cut it in pieces, however you got to cut it, but you got to get it down. Just to present the meat don't help you unless you eat it. You got to get it down. You got to embrace what God's word says and let it live in your life. How many see how important this is? So this Navah is very valuable to our life. Just look up these words. They all prophesied. All of them prophesying. Now watch what happens in this prophesying. Because they get a little beside themselves here. And Yehovah came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it came to be when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied and did not continue. Verse 26, however, two men had remained in the camp, and the name of the one was Eldad and the name of the other was Medad, and the spirit rested upon them now that they were among those listed but did not go out to the tent. And they prophesied in the camp. Woo! There they go. They talk about the Spirit, and all of a sudden they start doing stuff they're not supposed to do. Is this something that they're not supposed to do? That's what we say. Well, they start doing stuff that I don't agree with. They didn't agree here. Let's see how they correct them then. Since they're doing it wrong, let's see how they correct them. And a young man ran and informed Moshe and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. They ain't supposed to be doing that. Only two of them. What are they doing? Have they lost their mind? And Yehoshua, son of Nun, who's a type of Yeshua, Moshe's assistant from his youth answered and said, Moshe, my master, forbid them. Look what he said, forbid them. Then Moshe said to him, are you jealous for my sake? You don't want them to have the same anointing? Don't be jealous for my sake. I want you to be anointed. I want you to preach better than I'm preaching. I want the set apart spirit to come upon you, and when you get up, just mysteries fall out of you. That's what I'm listening for. That's what I'm looking for. Don't be jealous for me because the set apart spirit has come upon you. That's what Yehoshua was doing. Let it happen, Moshe says. Let it be. Don't be jealous for my sake. Don't be envious for me. I'm not giving envy. You don't give envy. I want to see you grow. I want to see you explode in this thing. I'm not going to hold you back. You're not going to have me hold you back from stepping out in this in faith. I'm giving you the information so you can step out in faith. And so, you know, a lot of times people, you know, leaders want to hold people back. Don't let them go because they'll wind up getting better than me. I pray you are better than I've ever been. I pray that you embrace the anointing of God and let it move in your life in a great and powerful way because it's important. It's the only way we're ready for people. We're not ready for them babies. We're not ready. We don't even know how to understand simple principles that Yeshua left right before he sat down to the Father. You couldn't articulate this message to yourself because we didn't see it in its entirety. Yeah, I said, God, I'm going to see it in its entirety. From the very beginning of Genesis to the Revelation, I want to see this stuff in its entirety and then step back and see if I can disapprove. Can you disapprove of it? Already, hopefully some of you say you can't deny it. You can't deny what was initiated by the Father and the Son. How can you stop that? Can't be done. Now watch this. And Moshe said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Oh, that all the people of Yehovah were prophets. Prophets. I wish all of them were prophets. I wish all of you were prophets. That you let the set apart spirit move in your life. That you prophesy to. First thing you got to look in the mirror and prophesy to yourself. You're all going to make it. You're all going to be good. You're all coming out. You're all coming up. You're all going to be healed. You're all going to be delivered. Prophesy to yourself. You said, but none of that's true. That's okay. Speak it as though it were. The things that are not as though they are, prophesy to yourself. And you do that by the unction of the set apart spirit. It has to rise up in you. If not, you won't do it. Your spirit's not going to do it. Your spirit's still living in negative land. Where you come from. You come from beating yourself down. People told you all your life, you'll never be anything. You're going to struggle all your life. The set apart spirit comes and says, you're better than that. You got to speak those words out. You're not going to be defeated. You're going to be victorious. You're not going to be the victim. You're going to be the victor. The set apart spirit's the one that initiates that. And you got to speak those things. Your children are going to be born again.
Yes.
You've accepted the lie from the enemy. They're coming up and coming out. Yes. And you know that the Spirit of God is what initiates that inside of you. You start saying things that's crazy, and people look at you a little funny. It's okay. Get used to being looked at a little funny. And so what we do, we stay away from all of this. This is too much for me. We want to put everything real night and neat, and we want to kind of stay there. We don't let the Spirit do its job. Well, when the Spirit showed up at Pentecost, it was not nice and neat no more. Some people were saying, these people are drunk because they were loud. And they got beside themselves, and they realized something had happened. What happened? That new tongue that Yeshua talked about came. And it was like Joel said, in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters. Now you'll notice that's not something you see. The Ruach, most of the time the Ruach comes on men, male. But in Acts, it came on male and female. Man servant and female servant. Young and old. It was nobody missing. That was what was so incredible about it, because it never had happened like on that scale. Nothing on that scale had happened with God introducing himself, the Ruach HaKodesh, in the lives of people with no filter. Why do you do that? Because of the blood of Yeshua. That's the power of the blood of Yeshua. That's what cleansing happened in your life, and we don't even give credit to it. You know, we say we're saved, but we still got problems. What problems can you have that the blood can't fix for you? What are they? Can you give me a list of them? Because that don't make sense to me. You can't be saved at the same time be defeated. I don't understand how that works. So you have to understand there's a position for the Ruach to come in to help you get through these things, to help initiate the power in your life. You got to give place to the Ruach, and we don't want to do that because it comes with tongues. That bad omen that's been created presuppositions in the minds and hearts of people, and it's terrible. Now watch what, let's finish this with Moshe's conversation. Are you jealous for my sake? Oh, that all the people were prophets and that Yehovah would put his spirit upon all of them. What was Moshe's desire? Same thing as Yeshua's desire. Same exact thing. Moshe was the leader. His same exact desire he had, that all would prophesy. The spirit would come upon them, they would prophesy. And Moshe returned to the camp, both he and the elders of Israel. What did they do to Eldad, Medad? What did they do to him? Nothing. What are we going to do? Go in and tell the set-apart spirit that they should have got out the tent like everybody else? So 68 got out and 2 stayed in. You ever thought maybe the set-apart spirit told them stay here because there's people in the tent that need to hear what you're saying? Is that okay? Well, I don't like prophecy. I don't like prophecy, and the prophecy goes forth, and the moment it goes forth, it was specifically for somebody there, but you don't like prophecy, so you shut it off, so you can have the same speaker give a message, and it bless one and cause distraction to the other. That's what happened there. People were distracted because they was against something. Let me see how important this is. Let's go back to Corinthians 14. We're going to come back to this renewed writings. We're going to continue going through it, but I got to go back to 14. He who is prophesying upbuilds and encourages and comforts men. He who is speaking in a new tongue. Again, remember, use that word new. Why? Because this tongue is no different than the tongue that Yeshua talked about. Who is speaking in a new tongue builds up himself, but he who is prophesying builds up the assembly. That's why he said, I would that y'all prophesy, because it builds up the assembly. Now he's going to tell us how. Why is he telling us this great information in Corinth? Because Corinth was all over the place. So he's having to give them instructions about the spirituals. And so, now I wish you all spoke with tongues. What he wishes? You all spoke with new tongues. All. How many? All. But rather that you might prophesy, for he who is prophesying is greater than he who is speaking with tongues. Why is he greater than he who speaks with new tongues? Because prophecy has to be interpreted, or it comes out as interpretation. Maybe the prophecy is a word of knowledge, and you give that word. It's prophecy. It's not something you initially had. It came forth, and you speak into somebody's life and say, like I did with you up here the other day. I prophesied over your life. I read Isaiah 11 over all of you. I prophesied into your life. Now, I had to allow the set-apart spirit to use me to deliver that message to you. You receive it however you want. It's not my job to receive it. My job is to deliver the prophecy. I did that. What you receive is completely up to you. And where you are this time next year is completely up to you. It ain't me. I can tell you, I want to grow in him, and I want to be more explosive when it comes to delivering the message of God. And you got to seek God with everything that's in you. I mean, sometimes you got to grab onto it, and you got to say, God, I need to know this. And if you don't tell me, I won't know. And you feel nothing for the first week. You feel nothing. There's no emotion. Because if you're looking for emotions to be tied to this, you're looking for the wrong thing. It's not an emotional thing. Set apart spirit, the Ruach's not an emotional thing. Can it be emotional? It can be, but that's not the indicator. The indicator is you want to do more what the Father wants you to do, and you want to be just like him. That's the indicator. You want to like the things he likes, you want to hate the things he hates. That's the indicator, not emotions. Just because you can cry don't mean the Ruach's all over you. I can show you a bunch of people cry all the time. They ain't got no Ruach nowhere near them. They're a bunch of crybabies. You don't want to be known as a crybaby. You want to. You can have emotions. It's not wrong with having emotions, but that's not the thing you're looking for. You're looking for the power that comes with that move of the Spirit or the operation of that gift. It's power that comes with it. Five, huh? Now I wish you all spoke with tongues, but rather, that's verse 5. But rather that you might prophesy, for he who is prophesying is greater than he who is speaking with tongues, unless he interprets the new tongue. Unless he's greater, unless, so you got to read the rest of the text. Unless he interprets. If he interprets, is he greater? No. But if there's no interpretation, there's no edification for the assembly. So he's going to give us instructions on how that should fit in as we go on, because there's no denying that this gift or this spiritual is available to the church today, so that the assembly might receive upbuilding. He wants the assembly receives up. So watch this. But now, brothers, but now, since with that in mind, with that information you just got, but now, brothers, if I come to you speaking with new tongues, I'm putting new there because I'm connecting it to Mark 16. Hopefully you understand. I'm not adding to the text. I'm just saying this tongue here is no different than what Yeshua is making a reference to. With that case, I hope I'm making that to you today. That's the tongue he was talking about. It's a new tongue, unworn, brand new. Not a spoken language that everybody already knows. But I understand they heard. It was a hearing miracle. But they were speaking a new tongue. Was it new to them? Absolutely. And these different languages, the people, they came from all over. They understood different dialects. They were had multiple languages that they spoke. These people, they weren't foreign to languages. In America, we're very foreign to language. We know one language barely. But they were used to these languages. But what they were speaking was a new tongue. And what they heard was their own language. Can anybody see that? It was a speaking miracle. Was that different than what happened at Mount Sinai? No, it's not. It's the same exact thing what happened at Mount Sinai. There was only one speaker, yet they heard different things. Deuteronomy 5 proves that, and Exodus 20 proves that. They heard different things. All you got to do is look at the fourth command. And imagine the one command he picked for the difference in the knowing was the fourth command. Because he knew that fourth command would give a lot of people a lot of trouble over the years. He said, not only remember it, you better guard it. It's your life to guard it. Why? Because let me tell you who loves Shabbat. Jehovah. If he loves Shabbat, you know what I ought to, how do I know I have the Spirit? I'm going to love Shabbat, period. No, there's no hoops to jump through, no isms and schisms. If he loves Shabbat, I'm going to love Shabbat if I have the right spirit. My intrinsic nature is congruent with his intrinsic nature, and I love the things he loves. You know who loves Sukkot? Jehovah. I'm going to love Sukkot. I don't have to explain you why you should love Sukkot. If you have a set apart spirit, you're going to automatically love Sukkot. You can't wait to decorate. As a matter of fact, we're going to take this down here in the next day or so. We take it down, and you can't wait to put it back up. You participate in it because your intrinsic nature is now operating under his intrinsic nature. That's a mark of the Spirit. Now, do all speak with new tongues? That's a rhetorical question. Yeah, I'm going to get to it in just a minute. The answer is no. Can all speak with new tongues? Yes. It don't mean all do, but can you? And we ought to seek the gifts. We ought to seek them with everything that's in us. What did Moshe desire for the people to do? He said, I wish all of you prophesied, not just these 70. So what was he including? But it was before his time. It wasn't the time for that, to include all. But Joel prophesied of the time everybody wouldn't be included. Sons and daughters, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Upon the handmaiden and upon the manservant, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. That's what happened in Acts 2. And it's still happening today if we embrace it. But we move so far away from it, we barely talk about spirituals anymore. We talk about a spiritual God living in the spiritual realm, and we can't wait to have the Spirit of the Most High to come down and be with us, but we don't believe in spirituals. Isn't that amazing? It just blows my mind. If you want to know how I've been successful all these years and how I know what I know, I can only give you one thing. I believe in the set-apart spirit operating in spirituals in my life. And I don't set parameters and say, I'm not doing this and not doing that. Whatever you want to do with me, you do it. I yield myself to you. And only He can come and open up your understanding to these things. You can't know them by yourself. If you can know them by yourself, most of the world would know it, because a lot of people like to read and study. Studying is not the thing that gives the key. Set-apart spirit is the thing, because it opens up an understanding that you don't normally have. You go deeper in the areas that you normally wouldn't go. So let's continue in Corinthians. But now, brothers, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, means I interpret it, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by teaching? By teaching. You mean teaching? Now, what's the platform all of these things spring from? Let me read it again, because there's a platform everything I just read to you springs from. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking with a new tongue, that's the premise, that's the foundation, it springs from that. What shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by teaching? It's a great question. And so he says, if I preach this entire thing to you in tongues, what profit would it have been? Unless I give the knowledge of what I'm saying, a prophesy of what I'm saying, a revelation of what I'm saying. You understand? So, in essence, what I've been doing is preaching in tongues, but I'm giving you an interpretation of it. Because you speak English. You understand that? Because I'm being led by the Spirit to say the things I'm saying, so I'm speaking with a new tongue. That's why some of the stuff I'm saying today, you've been in church all your life and you've never heard this, how it's coming off the pages. Because it's a new tongue. It's a revelation from God. He's trying, you know, it's not a different scripture, same scripture. It's just we read more. We understand more. We comprehend more. We're able to deliver it in a way that's understandable to the people. Verse 7, nevertheless, lifeless instruments making a sound, whether flute or harp, if they do not make a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is played on the flute or on the harp? So it's got to be a distinct sound. So if you hit the keyboard, you're going to hit a key, and say we hit the key of A, we're familiar with the A sound, the melody of the A, and so we're familiar with it. And so you put these keys together, and they make a melody. All of a sudden now you can join in and sing in the melody. But if you don't have a distinct sound, it's hard for anybody to sing. So he's going to show you how he separates praying in the Spirit versus the gift of a new tongue. He's going to show you that. How many want to see it? For indeed, if the trumpet makes an indistinct sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? That's why when they blowed the shofar, there were certain sounds meant certain things. And so that when they heard that sound, they didn't say, hey, grab the songbook. What is he playing? They knew. You ain't got time for a songbook. The battle's on. The enemy's approaching. Get your sword, get your shield, and let's go to war. When that distinct sound blew, they knew what it was all through the camp. Same thing with the set-apart spirit. It blows a distinct sound. There's something about it. So also you, if you do not give speech by the tongue that is clear. The speech has to be clear. I'm speaking clear to you right now, even though I'm speaking by the set-apart spirit. I'm speaking clear to you. Clearly, you can hear, you understand English, you understand what I'm saying to you. How many do you understand what I'm saying to you? Am I making sense to you today? See, you ought to be understanding it. That way, no matter if we're here together or you go home, it's still the same word. You can go back and look at all these things. If then you do not know the power of the voice, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks a foreigner to me. The power of the voice is important. So if I was to get up here and speak in tongues, you would get nothing out of it. Nothing. Now, can I speak in tongues? Absolutely I can. Does everybody do that? The answer to the rhetorical question was no. Does that mean you can't? Again, he's not saying that. He says you can. In fact, if he said, would you all do it? But not everybody has the get up and go to want it or the yielding to it. You don't want to yield your intrinsic spirit to his intrinsic spirit. So there's a difficulty there. So you struggle with it. And let me tell you, I wouldn't ever, ever, ever want to take on teaching or preaching without it. Just so you know that. That's how useful it is. I would never want to pray for a group of people and be my responsibility without it. Because it's very useful. How you know what to pray? Well, I don't know what to pray sometimes, but the Spirit prays. You don't know what to pray, it prays. And you yield. Now, do I pray with the Spirit and do I pray with my understanding? Absolutely. Why? Because that's what he encourages me to do. Do I sing with my spirit and sing with my understanding? Absolutely. That's what he encourages us to do. I don't do one over the other. I do both of them because I have the authority to do both of them according to the Word of God. So I'm utilizing all the spirituals that's available to me to get the job done. So how many pray that God would use you in prophecy? Or you're afraid of that? See, we're not sure. I don't know how it's going to sound. You're already putting terms on it. You see, you're putting terms on it. Why are you worrying about what it sounds like? Who cares? You ought to seek these things because they're spirituals. And we are spiritual people who live for God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. How are you doing that without spirituals? Explain that to me. How you doing that? So also you, if you do not speak, give speech in by the tongue that is clear, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall be speaking into the air. I didn't want to come here speaking to the air. I want to speak so you know what's being said. Yet I'm speaking by the set apart spirit. Does that make sense to you? There are undoubtedly so many kinds of sounds in the world, and none of them is without distinct sound. There are many sounds in the world, and none of them is without a distinct sound. Many sounds. If then I do not know the power of the voice, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks be a foreigner to me. So also, you, since you are ardent for spiritual gifts, seek to excel in the upbuilding of the assembly. So if you excel in the upbuilding of the assembly, does that mean you eliminate speaking in tongues? Is that what it's saying? Some teach that. He's saying don't seek tongues, seek the rest. He's not saying that. He's not saying that at all. Why is that? Because he's going to tell us in a little while why not. That's not so. Therefore, he who is speaking in a new tongue, again, I'm using that term new for your purpose of connecting it to what Messiah said in Mark 16. Let him pray that he might interpret. Did you ever ask God to help you interpret? You ought to do that. So I prayed in the spirit over this message for a couple of weeks now, trying to say, God, I'm missing something, and I don't know what I'm missing. I know it's simple, so simple, but if you'll tell me, and I'm praying in the spirit, right? So I'm praying, and I said, Lord, help me interpret what I'm saying. I said it just like that, in English. Instantly, Mark 16 fell in my spirit. Instantly, I was able to interpret. Instantly. I was asking God for Mark 16, didn't know I was asking him for it. But I prayed simply as he asked me to, pray for interpretation. I said, Lord, help me understand what I'm saying so you can lead me. And instantly, I was outside. I was right there by the fig tree. I turned around. I had just a little sip of coffee in my hand. I slung the coffee out. I went inside, and I wrote down Mark 16 on my paper. Because I needed an opener. I needed to have something lasting that'll stick to you. And I needed something, I didn't have it. But I prayed in the Spirit into its fruition, and I had to ask for interpretation in order for it to become real to me. So it edified, I had the edification of it, because I knew instantly where to go. Now, could I have found Mark 16 on my own? Probably so. But for whatever reason, I was not finding it. Not because I wasn't looking, because I was looking at everything I could get my hands on. But you got to let him put it together. Amen? So, therefore, verse 13, he who is speaking in a tongue, a new tongue, let him pray that he might interpret. Simple, just pray you might interpret. Are you going to interpret everything you pray? No. But you pray that you might interpret. And whenever you pray and you might interpret, if he gives you interpretation, whatever that looks like, you thank him for it. That's the spiritual working, and you actually work in the spiritual. It's actually working in your life. There's nothing more uplifting than that, than when you see the spirituals working in your life as evidence. For if I am praying in a new tongue, my spirit is praying. Everybody say, my spirit, my intrinsic nature is praying. When's the last time you let your intrinsic nature pray? Your intrinsic nature. When's the last time you let it pray? You praying in English. When's the last time you let your spirit pray? He just said that when I pray in a new tongue, for if I'm praying in a new tongue, my spirit is praying, but my understanding is without fruit. That means you don't know what you're saying. He's telling you that's what praying in a new tongue is. You don't know what you're saying, but your spirit is praying. There's a spiritual thing happening, but your mind is not fruitful. Do you see that? Your mind's not fruitful, but your spirit is praying. Your understanding is without fruit. Then say this question next. So what then is it? Question. I shall pray with the spirit, and I shall also pray with the understanding. So you're praying in the spirit, and then you start praying with your understanding. You just start praying. You say, well, how do you know what to pray? Well, you're not going to know what to pray. You're just going to be led by the Spirit of God. So a lot of times you go to pray, you don't know what to pray for. If you do, you're using the same prayer over and over and over, praying for the same people doing the same thing. When your spirit's praying, you're not doing that. There's something that you don't know what you're doing, but then you start praying, and all of a sudden, boom, there it come. Boom, there it come. And all of a sudden you start praying for people you never prayed for in a long time, but you first started praying in the Spirit. Then you pray with your understanding. Does that make sense? So there's different types of praying. One's pray with your understanding. That's what we all do. Father, we thank you. I'm praying with my understanding. You know what I'm talking to. I'm talking to the Father. You just heard me say, Father. I'm addressing the authority. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I'm praying with understanding. I pray for this church today. I pray for your openness in their mind. I'm praying with my understanding. You understand what I'm saying. But if I pray in the Spirit, your mind won't be fruitful. So he says it again. If I am praying in a tongue, my spirit is praying, but my understanding is without fruit. What then is it? I shall pray with my spirit, and I shall also pray with my understanding. I shall sing with the spirit, and I shall also sing with my understanding. How many see that? So in combination, we're still talking about spirituals here. Are we still in the 14th chapter of Corinthians? Because Shaul spends an awful lot of time here talking about spirituals, and the only way he gets the reason to talk about this, because Mark 16 exists. Other than that, we'd close the book because Shaul don't know what he's talking about. He has no authority to speak on spirituals. He has no authority at all because his authority didn't give him that information. We'd close the book and we'd move on. But he has authority to speak of spirituals because Messiah said that you'll speak a new tongue. Have we not been talking about new tongues the entire time at the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians? That's what we've been talking about. Yet, we know little about it. How is that? You got to spend time with this. You got to look at this. I can't tell you how many hours I spent going over this recently and over the years. Going over this, trying to get a full understanding, because there's so many different wrong teachings out there on what this is and what it's not. And I refused to teach about something that was just a copy of what somebody else said. I'm going to teach you what the Word, thus said the Word of God, what the Word explains to us, how the Word delivers it. And that was my goal today, is to make sure that you understand the premise of this subject comes from somebody. Somebody initiated this subject. And what we see now, already we see the Father initiated it in Exodus 19 and 20. And then Yeshua launched it before he sat down at the right hand of the Father in Mark 16. And then the manifestation of what he launched came into fruition in Acts chapter 2. And then Shaul began to teach about it because the church people wasn't getting it. They was untrained in this. They were struggling. So how many see this so far? That this tongues has a lot of different elements to it. Now, I pray in the Spirit, but probably some of you here never heard me pray in the Spirit because it's not for you. What are you going to hear? What are you going to hear? Is it for me to pray so I can show you I got something? That's not what he says. He never teaches us that. Never, ever does he teach that. Yet people use that over the years, try to project themselves out that I'm spiritual. But they don't know how to love their brother. They don't keep Shabbat. You understand? There's a lot of things you don't use this power to project yourself to be somebody. It's, you utilize it because it gives information to you that's on a pneuma to pneuma connection. It's like having a direct line straight to the Father. Who wants that line? If you can have a direct line to the Father, who would want that installed in your house? Would you want that installed? I would want it. Well, I'm telling you about a direct line you can have, and it's through the set-apart Spirit. It's direct. Now, like I said, can I have a direct line without speaking in tongues? Absolutely. I'm not saying that that's the thing. I'm saying that's available. That's another tool to use, but it's not the one-all, done-all. It's not how it works. Can I have a direct line without that? Absolutely you can. Your intrinsic nature matches with his intrinsic nature. That's a direct link, pneuma to pneuma. Spiritual to spiritual connection. Absolutely. But I'm not going to bash somebody who speaks in tongues. It's not my position to do. I'm not going to speak in any. I'm not going to be the one who blasphemes set apart Spirit. That's a dangerous place to be. So before you say something, know what you're talking about before you say it, because you might say something that gets you in a lot of trouble. Does this make sense to everybody? And so somebody took it and abused it. Does that give you the right to talk negative about it? Are you going to abuse it because they abused it? Are we saying because somebody used it already and they abused it, it's not available to the church anymore? It's a lot of things that have been taken and used that away, and it's preached today like it's the Scripture, and it's not the Scripture. I'm giving you what the Scripture says and how it operated from Genesis to Revelation, and we see that throughout the Scripture. Verse 16, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how shall he be filled up? How shall he who fills up the place of unlearned say amen? So we shouldn't pray in the Spirit in a group setting like this. For me to begin to pray in an unknown tongue, how will you know when to say amen? He's telling us this. Why is he? Because this is the stuff they were doing. And he says, listen, don't tell me you can't take control. I hate to use that word, it's a pretty strong word, but your intrinsic nature and the set apart Spirit's intrinsic nature, they're not fighting for position. Do you understand that? There's no wrestling match going on. It's harmony. Just like Yeshua wasn't fighting for God's position. He was never fighting for God's position. They were in harmony. set apart spirits in harmony with your intrinsic spirit. Now, the only time you'll have any kind of rebuff from set apart spirit is when your intrinsic nature does nothing. It sits back and expects stuff to happen. It's going to get on you about that. But you can't say, well, I couldn't control it, really. Well, who's controlling if you're not? What is that spirit that's controlling if you're not? You absolutely can control how the set apart spirit operates in your life. You're supposed to be in control of how the set apart spirit, not as an authoritative figure, but you're working hand in hand, and he won't do anything outside that'll cause embarrassment to you, and nor should you cause an embarrassment in how you act to the set apart spirit. So yes, whatever happens, positive or negative, you're it. You're in control of it. You did that. You allowed a gift to come in, and instead of you allowing the gift to bring asset to you, you did nothing or took over, and you tried to make it do something that it never intended to do. Listen, if giving is spiritual. Can everybody agree that giving is spiritual? And so, you know, I know it's spiritual to give, and song service starts, and I'm walking like this. And I said, well, it's out of my control. Set apart spirit, just take whatever you want out of my wallet. He never took nothing out, so he don't want me to give. It's in your control. You know what set apart spirit says? I want you to give $100 this morning. You got to stop. You got to control it. You got to open up and be obedient to set apart spirit and put the 100 in. Don't tell me you can't control it. We use every excuse there is about why we do it. Well, it makes me scream. Well, quit screaming. Unless you can show me that screaming is one of the key elements of the spiritual, you need to quit screaming. You understand? So don't tell me you can't. So you go in these places where it's completely out of control. Where's that at? I can't help it. You can help it. You can help it. You're in congruency. You're not opposing each other. You're not possessed. He didn't say you get possessed. You'd be immersed in the spirit, not possessed by spirit. That's some people been possessed by spirit, and it wasn't the Ruach HaKodesh. I don't know if you ever seen those possession episodes, but I've seen them. That's possession. I can't control it. You can. Absolutely you can. Say you can. And so it's all flows together. So I hope that I'm showing you how beautiful it is. There's no negative here. There's nothing negative about this. But let's pause just for a second and go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Verse 6. And the Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall prophesy with them, and be turned into another man. Who's he speaking of here? Shaul. Now, did Shaul do this before this? No. He was just a big guy. You know, he stood out. He had a disposition about him that was intimidating, but he was a regular guy. He can be beat just like any man. But all of a sudden, something changed in Shaul. The Spirit of Yahweh came upon him, and you shall prophesy with them and be turned into another man. What's this another man? Let me tell you about the set apart spirit. You want to be that another man. When you get up to preach, you want to be that another man. And that only happens when set apart spirit comes on you. Because you can still teach without set apart spirit. You're going to be limited. Your teaching is going to be limited. Your preaching is going to be limited. Your everything that you do spiritually is going to be limited because you don't have that power, that explosiveness that he wants to give to you. So if you want to be better, be anointed by the set apart spirit to do the job. If you sing, you'll sing better. If you play, you'll play better. If you preach better. If you teach better. If you just attend service, you'll attend service better because of the set apart spirit. If you're a wife, you're a better wife. If you're a husband, you're a better husband. If you have a brother, you're a better brother. If you have a sister, you're a better sister. You're better at everything you do because of set apart spirit. Because you're being empowered to take it to the next level. Shaul was taken to the next level because of the set apart spirit. He became another man. Watch the next verse. And it shall be when these signs come to you, do for yourself as your hand finds to do, for Elohim is with you. He said, I don't care what you think of, do it, because Elohim is with you. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? You're trying to decide whether I should buy this house. You buy the house. Why? Elohim's with you. You're trying to figure out whether to change jobs. Change the job. He's with you. When you're led by the set apart spirit, you're not debating over these things for years whether you should do something. I'm afraid. I'm scared. I don't know if I should. I don't know what to do. You don't do that no more. Set apart spirit's there. He just told Shaul, he said, whatever you find to do, do it. Because Elohim's with you. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and see, I am coming down to you to offer ascending offerings and slaughter offerings and for peace offerings. Wait 7 days till I come to you. Then I shall make known to you what you should do. Sometimes the set apart spirit makes you wait. Is that okay? Is that okay? I had to wait. I had to wait till this morning. I was getting a little nervous there. I said, God, I put all this time in. I don't have, it's not there yet. It's not, I don't, all the pieces is not there. What am I missing? I had to wait. It's okay to wait. You don't get mad at the set apart spirit and pick him marbles up and go home because he didn't do what you wanted him to do. You got to wait sometimes. 7 days, he go down and wait for me. But when you wait and you learn how to wait and be patient when he comes, there's something about it. There's something fantastic about it. And it came to be, when he had turned his back to go from Shemuel, that Elohim gave him another heart. Gave him another heart. Let me see that. And all those signs came on that day. On that day. So sometimes you wait and you wait and you wait, and on that day, there it is. You go, man, that was worth it. That was so worth it. On that day. And so he gave him another heart. And so, do we need to allow the set apart spirit to put us in a position to be able to receive what he's about to give? Absolutely. He's got to prepare us, get us right, get our heart right, get us in the position we need to be in. So he gave him another heart, and all those signs came on that day. Praise be to Jehovah. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, 22. Therefore says the house of Israel, thus said the Master Jehovah, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my set apart name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I shall set apart my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am Jehovah, declares the Master Jehovah, when I am set apart in you before their eyes. What has to happen? People have to see before their eyes that Jehovah is set apart to us, that we treat him with great reverence and respect. We honor him. Our lives are conducted where we honor him. We're not doing this one day and doing something completely foreign to what Jehovah wants us to do the next day. We can't be Sabbath keepers and then non-Sabbath keepers. We can't be keeping feasts and still keeping the pagan system. You can't do both. He said, I got to be set apart in the eyes of the people to you. So you got to make some hard decisions. You got to have a standard in your life. And listen, if we're going to go the path of Shabbat, that's where we're going. We're not double dipping. We're not going to do both so it satisfies all the people. You got to be set apart in the eyes of the people. Let me see this. If we're going to keep Shabbat, we're not going to keep Sunday too. You understand? We got to make a decision. If we're going to keep the feast days, we're not keeping Easter and Christmas. Why? You got to be set apart in the eyes of the people. You got to make a decision. We're talking about dealing with set apart spirit here and what he demands in our life. There are certain things he demands. He's not going to be pushy. He's not going to come in and take your life over and possess you. It's not a possession. It's an immersion. It's you going down and you dipping in and you're just holding it there and you say, oh, thank you, Father. It's congealing. It's a congruency from pneuma to pneuma. Does this make sense to everybody? Now, some of you have been waiting for this, and here it is. So I hope that you just keep your energy a little bit longer. We're about to be done. And not done, but finished today, for today. And I shall sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols I clean you. Notice what he does before set apart spirit comes. He got to clean you from all your idols. He said, I'm going to clean you. And I shall give you a new heart. How many see that? And put a new spirit within you. And I shall take the heart of stone out of your flesh and shall give you a heart of flesh. And put my spirit within you. How many want his spirit in you? I want his spirit in me. I don't want another spirit. Remember, we deal with three spirits. What's the three spirits we deal with? We deal with man's spirit. We deal with the Ruach HaKodesh, God's spirit, and we deal with the spirit of Hasatan. That's what you deal with every day of your life. You deal with that. You say, I ain't dealing with it. You're dealing with it, whether you admit it or not. You're faced with it. And your life is going to be a dictate of whatever one's in charge. If your spirit's in charge, life's going to be a dictate of that you being in charge. If the Hasatan's in charge, he'll drag you through the pit. He'll drag you through the muck and mire. He did it before in your life. You remember those days. And if Yehovah's in charge, his spirit, you'll be able to tell. Because you know where you are on Shabbat? Well, he is. You know where Yeshua was on Shabbat? Yeshua didn't, he wasn't teaching no mixed up theology. He spoke plainly. He wasn't mixed up. We got folks today talking about this and that, and it's completely different than what Yeshua teaches. Yet they believe it with every ounce of their being. Why? Because they're going by their spirit. Their spirit is not in congruence with his spirit. When your spirit gets in congruence with his spirit, you line up to him. He don't line up to you. Yeshua lined up to the Father perfectly. We have to line up to Yeshua perfectly. If we line up with Yeshua, it's automatic that we lined up with the Father. Automatic. These are wonderful principles. They can't be expressed enough of how important they are. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I shall be your Elohim. Verse 29. And I shall save you from all your uncleanness, and I shall call for the grain and the increase it, and shall bring in no scarcity of food upon you. I mean, see these wonderful blessings that come when you have a new spirit in you. And I shall increase the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of scarcity of food among the nations. How many want that? And you shall remember, and you shall remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you shall loathe yourself in your own eyes for your crookedness and your abominations. Not for your sake am I acting, declares the Master Yehovah. Let it be known to you, be ashamed and blush for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus said the Master Yehovah, on the day that I cleansed you from all your crookedness, I shall cause the city to be inhabited, and the ruined places shall be built, rebuilt, and the land that was laid waste, tilled, instead of being a ruin before the eyes of all who pass by, and they shall say, this land that was laid waste has become like a garden of Eden, and wasted and deserted and destroyed cities are now walled and inhabited. Then the nations which I left all around you shall know that I am Yehovah, have rebuilt the destroyed places and planted what was laid waste. I, Yehovah, have spoken it and shall do it. How many thank God for that? We have promises in the scripture. These promises are given to us. And this, it goes on and on. Two more verses in 37. Thus said the Master Yehovah, once again I shall let the house of Israel inquire of me to do for them. I shall increase their men like a flock, as set apart flock, as a flock at Jerusalem at her appointed times. So shall the wasted cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am Yehovah. Thank God for his word. Amen. And it goes on and on and on. And so back here in Corinthians 14. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how shall he who fills up the place of unlearned say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you say? For you truly give thanks well, but the others is not built up. So you can have a spiritual experience yourself, but not be able to benefit anybody else. That's not what the set apart spirit, that's not what the tongues are for. It's for us to have the experience he wants us to have and utilize it the way he said for us to utilize it. Not just use it the way we want to use it. I thank my Elohim, I speak with tongues more than you all. New tongues. This is Shaul. He says, I thank my Elohim, I speak with new tongues more than you all. So when was Shaul doing all this new tongue speaking? Where was it? He was doing it in the privacy of his own home while he was stealing away with the Lord. That's when he was doing it. That's what the speaking in tongues is mainly for. Now, it's not limited to that, because you can speak publicly with an unknown tongue or a new tongue, but there must be an interpretation. You understand? So don't say, well, you can only do this in private. Then you're putting words in the mouth of the speaker. Let the gift be all the gift can be. Don't put caps and limitations on it. Say, God, whenever you, because you, do you still have it because you don't speak it in the public? Is it still not readily available? Absolutely it is. Remember, it's in your control. The set apart spirit comes, and if your spirit's congruent with his, he's not in charge. Hey, I'm in charge. You're not fighting for the reins. You have the reins, and its operation is based upon how you yield or obey or in obedience to the set apart spirit. It's either operating or not operating, not based on it, but on you, period. Remember that. If you don't pray in the Spirit, it ain't the set-apart Spirit fault. It's your fault. You haven't come to belief enough to recognize how beneficial that is in your life. You got to have that place for it in your life. You say, well, is this just for men? I just read to you Joel 2. Maybe we got to go to Joel 2 real quick. What if we went to Joel 2 real quick and just see what he's talking about? Joel 2, chapter 28. And after this it shall be that I pour out my spirit on all flesh. Just the men. Says all flesh, right? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, both men and women. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the male servants and the female servants, I shall pour out my spirit in those days. And I shall give signs in the heavens and upon the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun is turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of that great, awesome day of Jehovah. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Jehovah shall be delivered. For on Mount Zion and Jerusalem there shall be an escape. And as Jehovah has said, among the survivors, whom Jehovah calls. Thank God, thank God, thank God. So we see these wonderful principles as laid out in the text for our benefit. He wants them to benefit us. And so we see again, Shaul is not bragging when he says, I speak in tongues more than y'all. He's not bragging. That's not being braggadocious. He's just letting them know, I am in congruence with the Ruach HaKodesh, and I allow the Ruach HaKodesh to do its job that it has been sent to do, and that's to allow me to be able to pray in the Spirit as often as I so desire. He said, how long can you pray in the Spirit? How much you desire? How much time you got? I can tell you 1 or 2 minutes a day is a start. But don't put a cap on it. Why would you do that? It makes no sense. You got to spend time with anything in order to get familiar with it. You got to spend more time. You spend time in your word, you get more familiar with it. Before you know where Bereshit is. You can find Bereshit just like that, man. Yeah. 15 years ago, I'd have said, turn to Bereshit, ain't one of you could have found it.
You got that right.
Because I'd have been speaking in an unknown tongue. Is that not right?
Right.
If I'd have said to go to Shemot, you'd have went, huh?
Uh-huh. That's right.
Exactly. But now you know some things.
Uh-huh.
So the interpretation of those things had to come in order for us to learn them. You think it's any different? How does that happen? By set apart spirit. You got to allow that operation to happen. If you want to know how we got here, I can tell you by the set apart spirit. I didn't get us here. The set apart spirit got us here, and I thank him for it every day. I didn't do this. He did it. I allowed him to say, you know what? My spirit has to be congruent with your spirit, and if this is where you're leading us, that's where we're going. Not everybody's going to agree to that, but I'm here to follow him, and you got to make that decision. Who are you following? What's going to be the statement you're going to make before him when he requires this of us when we stand before him? So hopefully now you see, because I basically gave you almost all the text dealing with tongues. And the one thing I talked to with some of the guys here, I said, the one thing that causes more people anguish over a set apart spirit is tongues. So you know what? I told God, I said, I'm going to teach this, but I'm going right at it on the onset. We're going to go right at it. We're going to talk about the one thing nobody wants to talk about, speaking in tongues. Because it's caused us to be disconnected to the set apart spirit and all the spirituals that's available to us because of that one thing. Because of a misunderstanding or a presupposition about what it is and is not. Hopefully you'll understand this. Now, let's wrap this up. So that means I got to stop. Just got to stop. Wrap up don't mean finish by no means. But I got to find a good spot to stop right here. But in an assembly, I wish to speak five words with my understanding that I might instruct others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. I know that. So why would I do that? It makes no sense. That's why I decided I wasn't going to come here and speak in tongues to you about the whole message. It's a simple thing. He says it'd be better to not do that. So why would I do that? And why do some folks decide that's how they're going to do it? I don't know. Maybe not paying attention to what Shaul's saying. We got to pay attention. So you say, but I can't control it. Absolutely you can. Absolutely you can. You have a will. You can control it. Just like you can control what you do in life. You control whether or not how your day's going to go. No devil has snuck up on you and booed you. Didn't happen. There's a lack in our life. When we lack in our life, it invites the spirit of the enemy to come. And the enemy, he'll start parking himself kind of right there. You know, they give these little analogies. They got the good in the shoulder. I like to know, why is he on the shoulder? It's kind of close. He ain't on my shoulder. I got no spot for him. You understand? And if you got the Holy Spirit on one shoulder, you're missing a whole lot. It's like getting wet. Did you get any mercy? I got my foot in. When you go all the way in, you get him on both shoulders. Wouldn't that be a better thing? So don't buy into Hollywood and all these little cartoons and memes. That's not what the Word instructs us to do. So we get caught. We think that's how it is. The enemy's on this side and the angel's on this side. And we're talking to eat both of them. You won't find that happening with those who are led by the set-apart spirit. Because when the set-apart spirit comes in, he walks over there, and the first thing he does, he knocks the one off on the other shoulder, not right off. MMA style. Boom. Because he ain't tolerating that. You can't mix. If you're going to do it, you got to do it all the way. If you're going to keep Shabbat, keep Shabbat. And keep all the Shabbats. Not just the weekly Shabbats. You keep them all. Why? Because God keeps them. You want to do what he does. You're congruent with his intrinsic nature. So again, the set apart spirit is all about our nature matching his nature. That's being filled with the set apart spirit. Whether you choose to speak in tongues or not, that'll be totally up to you. You will not be possessed to speak in tongues. I'm telling you. Trust me, that don't happen. You have to yield to the set apart spirit for that to happen. You won't be possessed to do it. I never read a single verse till you get possessed. Not one single verse. Did Yeshua say you'll be possessed? No, his instruction was clear, very clear. There'll be a new tongue. Kinos. That's key word. Key word. It's going to be brand new. It's going to be something that's, it's going to be a new way to communicate with me because I won't be there. I won't be there. I'll be going away. You better communicate with me. So hopefully we see that. So let's wrap it up with this verse here. I'm going to skip this one verse. In the Torah. Let me see that. In the Torah, it has been written with men of other tongues. Anybody want to take a stab at that word other? being the same as the other I read about earlier? Is that linked to new tongues? Absolutely. And where is it at? In the Torah, it has been written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I shall speak to this people, and even so, they shall not hear me, says Jehovah. So if you don't have this, if you have this, even so, you won't hear him. What if you don't have it? Then what are you hearing? Even if you have this, he said, they won't hear me. What if you don't have it? What chance you have? So, should you be praying differently after today? I would sure hope so. Would you take the time to go over all these scripture again? And would you pray in a way where you're saying to God, Lord, if you'll help me understand this, I truly desire your set-apart spirit and the spiritual gifts that you've been given to me to operate so we can progress, we can grow, we can be good parents for the babies. We can be mature parents, mature. If you're still having to be fed and changed and nose wiped and diapers put on and, you know, fixing your rashes and all that stuff, how are you going to help somebody else? At some point, we got to grow up in these wonderful principles that he's given us. And I pray that this is at least challenge you. Whether or not you got full grips on it, I don't know. But I'll continue sharing as I can. But I hope this has really challenged you today to say, you know what? There's so much that God has for me, and I want it. I want it so bad. Yeah. And you can have it. Absolutely. Amen? Well, thank you so much for staying. And I know, well, we usually stay at 3 o'clock during the midrash. I did good.